Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Century Hosting, Expander Digital, and GoWP. WP Coffee Talk is a proud supporter of Big Orange Heart, whose mission is to support and promote positive well-being and mental health within remote working communities. Please consider a donation to Big Orange Heart to continue to support this great mission. Welcome to the next episode of WP Coffee Talk, where I get to speak to people in the WordPress community all over the world. And with us today is Topher DeRosia from BigCommerce and HeroPress. How are you, Topher?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's warm here in Michigan today. It's going to be in the 90s all weekend.
Yeah, here in Rochester, New York, too. It's been a very humid and hot day today. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a little crazy to think that just 2 months ago we were like, you know, walking through snow and 20 yeah. degrees. It's a little crazy where we live for sure. Up in the north like we do. I usually talk about how I know people, and my favorite story about you is that my first time ever meeting you was at WordCamp US when you gave a talk. And one of the first ones was the first
That's
one
right.
or the second one.
I always forget that. That was the first one.
Yeah. And that was in Philadelphia back in 2015, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 15.
Yeah. And it was fun. And I just sat there in the audience. I didn't hardly know anybody there. I think maybe I knew two people at the entire conference. And I sat there, like, listening to you talk about how HeroPress makes a difference and telling the people stories. Actually, how WordPress makes a difference and how you use HeroPress to tell people stories around the world. And I remember you talking about, and I don't remember what country the gentleman was in, but you talked about a young man who's family was able to eat and have like basic amenities in their lives because WordPress allowed him to have a career to do that. And I was just like dumbfounded. And at the end, I walked up to you like, you know, like the WordPress celebrity that you are and shook your hand. I was like, I want to do what you do. Yeah. And I was like,
I remember that.
I had just started a WordPress website about singing the praises of women. It didn't get very far because I never had the time to actually work it through. But you inspired me to do some of those things in WordPress. So thank you. Now, of course, we've been friends for years across so many different groups that we know each other through. So
I lost you after that. A couple of years I was thinking, boy, I wish I remembered the name of that woman who came up to me and told me her story, because that'd be great for HeroPress.
And now I have been on HeroPress.
Yeah. So how did we get reconnected? I don't remember that very well.
You know, back then I was freelancing. I didn't know a lot of people, but I want to say it was probably after I started working with GiveWP and doing more WordCamp organizing and things like that. And
then you became famous.
I don't know about that, but I did talk about something. I don't remember what I posted about, but I posted about something on Twitter. And you reached out to me and asked if I wanted to write my story on HeroPress, and the rest is history. So,
yeah.
So thank you for being on the show here with me today. It's so good to see you.
Oh yeah.
So awesome. So, I mean, I did kind of talk a little bit about what you do, but give us the nutshell version. Tell us who you are, what you do. I mean, I know your family. I know everybody over there, but you tell everybody else that doesn't.
All right. So, I'm a web developer by trade. I started building websites on a Vax VMS mainframe in the mid-90s with a green screen with, just letters and stuff like that. And I fell in love with WordPress in 2010 when 3.0 came out with custom post types. And I never went back. Right about then, and it was coincidence. It wasn't because of WordPress. I quit my day job to go full-time as a web developer, freelance. Everything just took off from there. It's been a whirlwind ever since. So now I work for BigCommerce, which is an e-commerce SaaS, as a developer advocate. And on the side, I still do HeroPress. HeroPress started just over 5 years ago, which means it was quite new when you first heard about it.
Yeah.
Two kids and a wife, and then they're all involved in WordPress in some way or another. The whole family has spoken at a WordCamp somewhere. It's just, we have a lot of WordPress mugs in the cupboard.
I believe you do for sure. And I think I tell you on a regular basis how much I love your wife. I'm sure you love her more than I do, but I do love your wife, and she and I get to work together on WordCamp US stuff. So that's a lot of fun too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I talk to your daughter, Sophia, quite a bit as well.
So. Same reason?
No, just because we're friends.
Oh. All right. Carry on.
Exactly. So I know you don't have exactly a mug today, but show us what beverage container you're using today.
So I don't really drink warm beverages. I like cold beverages. Mm-hmm. So this is my go-to bottle. I love this thing. I got it. Guess where I got it?
Is it from WordCamp Tampa?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is. In 2015.
Nice.
It's double-walled steel. It is not uncommon for me to let it sit for 24 hours with ice water in it, and I come back and there's still ice water in it.
Wow.
And I've heard from people that do drink hot beverages that it's just as good with hot. It'll keep coffee hot overnight. And so I carry it with me all the time, take it on the road.
Nice.
Drink a lot of ice water. I don't drink anything outside of it but water. So,
well,
there we are.
In honor, I don't know if you know this about me, but I love Wonder Woman. Like, Wonder Woman is my thing. Okay, I even have a tattoo on my back of Wonder Woman. and because you're Hero Press and Wonder Woman is a superhero, I have one of my many Wonder Woman mugs today.
Oh, yeah.
The ginormous one. That, nice. This will fit
It looks big.
It'll fit a whole bottle of wine. I'm not saying I've ever done that, but I'm not saying I haven't either. And it's got some kind of red camouflage. This was a gift from a friend. And today it's got chocolate milk. And I've never actually drank chocolate milk on the show before. So this is my first mug of chocolate milk on WP Coffee Talk. So that's what I'm drinking today. So
you know what would be cool is if they started making bottles of wine that had enough for two people.
I know. That's good. I think they call that boxed wine.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, if you're willing to share, that is, you know, but.
When I was in high school, I worked at a grocery store, and of course we had a liquor aisle, but above all the normal bottles of wine was a full-scale flintlock rifle made out of glass filled with wine.
Oh.
It was a cork in the end. And I always, like, it was there my entire career there, all my life. Like, it was my hometown grocery store. It was there all my life. Mm-hmm. And it was dusty, and I always wondered who bought that and decided to try and sell it, and who was going to buy it someday.
You know, that's got to taste like vinegar after a couple of years.
Yeah.
It can't be good. It can't be good.
Well, I wish I had a glass rifle.
Oh. I know, but you swing it too hard and the whole thing just shatters, you know?
That's right. Yep.
Tell us how you got started in WordPress. I'm just going to sip my chocolate milk while you tell us.
Yeah, so when WordPress first came out, I gave it a look and immediately decided I could build that. And so I did. I made a blog system. I was teaching college kids how to build websites, and each student had to pick a project for us for the semester. And I decided I would pick one as well, and I was going to make a blog, and I did. And I used it for maybe 12 years. It was very serviceable, very simple, probably full of security holes. I don't know. It never got hacked, but I wrote it in PHP 3. And then, some friends of mine built some websites with it through the 2000s and said, you know, it's a great blog system, but don't build websites with it. And so, you know, I didn't. And I was working for a radio station, three radio stations and a news service, doing all their web stuff. And I built their CMSs by hand, basically, PHP and MySQL. And I was getting really tired of building administration areas over and over again. And in 2010, WordPress 2.9 was out, and a friend said, hey, will you help me build a site with WordPress? And we did, and it was fine. And I thought, you know, not having to build an admin area is pretty cool. Maybe I can get into this. And then 3.0 came out, and I read about custom post types, and I said, this is it. This is the turning point. This turns WordPress into a real CMS. Mm-hmm. And it did. That was the big turning point. And I went to town. I didn't build with anything else ever since. To my detriment, actually. I agree with a lot of people who say, even if you love WordPress and you make your living off it, build some stuff with something else to keep up. Mm-hmm. I used to be a web developer, and I'm not anymore. I'm a WordPress developer. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me a little bit. Mm. But, you know, it is what it is. And my day job isn't development at all anymore. So as long as I can tell the young, smart kids what to do, I'll be all right.
There you go. And sometimes that's what you need to do. I mean, we get to a certain age and we get to be in charge. And that's not a bad thing either.
Yeah.
For sure. What's something that you think we don't focus enough attention on as web designers, builders, developers, that would make our websites better for the end user?
Boy, make this website better for the end user. I think they should all be more simple.
Okay.
Less, or fewer gadgets, fewer menu items. Mm-hmm. Maybe even at the cost of less content. Have your website only say one or two things. Mm-hmm. If you need to say more, do a different website about a different thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't very often read the New York Times, but occasionally I'll see a link in Twitter. And when I go, it throws up a big paywall and stuff like that. And when I got started as a web developer, the browser I used was called Lynx. Mm-hmm. L-Y-N-X. And it was text only. And it still works great. And if I bring up that New York Times article in Lynx, it's just text. It's just a news article. And it's beautiful. It's easy to read. It's really fast. I think if there were fewer, everybody hates on ads, but if there were just less content on a page, it would be faster, easier, more comfortable. So that's very much the user first angle.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that sites need to make money and stuff, but really purely user first, probably going to be a plain white page with black letters on it.
I completely agree. I don't mind ads so much as long as they're placed well. What I hate is when they start popping up and creeping over the text and the content and you're having to X out of things and clear it. And the window that you're actually reading in becomes smaller and smaller because there's so many other things that are trying to grab your time and attention.
Yep, absolutely.
As well as every link I click opening in a new tab, that annoys me to no end as well. So,
yep.
And the ones with all of those overlays and everything tend to be the ones that are also offending with the new with the opening and everything in a new tab. So
yes,
I think simplicity. There's a lot to be said for simplicity in design, in content, definitely. 100% agree with you on that for sure. What's something that you wish you'd known earlier in your WordPress journey that might have made life a lot easier?
JavaScript matters.
Mm.
I remember when JavaScript was invented.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cool because you can make these little tickers of text to go across the status bar of your browser at the bottom. Okay. And you could pop your navigation up in a secondary window. And I built a site for a hockey organization, and I made like a history of hockey, like a little Wikipedia thing. Mm-hmm. And I made it in a pop-up window. With little forward and back buttons and a little drop-down list for moving around. And it was cool. It was neato. But very quickly, it became the tool of the evil. And, everybody remembers the pop-up wars. And I said, you know what? I don't need to do that. I build websites with PHP and MySQL and HTML. And it's fine. And then all of a sudden, JavaScript mattered. It became important. Mm-hmm. And now the web is being rewritten, and I still don't know JavaScript. Mm. I've written a couple of things just to get by, but it takes me, hours and hours and hours just to find the right site in Google that has the right example of the thing almost like what I want to make so I can rip it off.
Right.
So yeah, JavaScript matters.
Yeah. Do you remember when Matt Mullenweg said in the State of the Word, learn JavaScript deeply prior to Gutenberg?
I do.
Yeah, when you said that, that popped in my head that, you know, everybody kind of went away with that for sure. That was
interesting. And I thought about it at the time.
Yeah.
But I decided instead to niche down on PHP and be a backend web developer. I used to love CSS. I was really good at it. And then I looked away one day, and when I looked back, it was gone. And there was Grunt and Gulp and Sass and SCSS and Composer and all kinds of stuff. And half of it wouldn't even compile on my machine. It took me a week and a half to get Grunt to work at all. And then the compiler for Sass was different on my Linux machine than it was on for the Mac guys. And I said, you know what? I know PHP really well. I don't need this. And I walked away. Yeah. And I have not done CSS since. I mean, I know how it works. I can hack it. I can do all kinds of stuff, but I'm not a front end developer anymore.
Yeah, I get it. When you think back over the different WordPress events you've gone to, whether it's meetups, WordCamps, other kinds of events, is there a moment or two that were kind of pivotal for you? Maybe it was somebody that you met, a talk that you heard, a talk you gave. What was it and how did it impact you?
I'm going to have a hard time remembering specific ones.
That's all right.
But I distinctly remember maybe a half a dozen times, maybe more than that, leaving a WordCamp and thinking, this changes everything. My career is different. My life is different. My relationships are different. Everything is different now. I'm sure there were WordCamps where I met new employers. And not just WordCamps. Prestonomics has been huge a couple times. There was one called Prestige Conf. Do you remember that? That was in Minneapolis. I think they only did two or three of those. I think they did three of them. Prestige Conf was a big deal for me. So I don't know that I could tell you, you know, I went to this camp and I met that person and this happened.
Right.
But I have a strong memories of wow. You know, and WordCamps do that to you.
Yeah, that's for sure. I have a whole string of events in my head too that are pivotal moments for me. And you do, you look back on them and some of it's making new friends, some of it's finding a new career or learning something new that was a game changer for you, but definitely.
Yeah.
All good experiences for sure.
Yep.
Well, tell us a little bit more. You pick. You can talk about BigCommerce. You could talk about HeroPress. You can talk a little bit about either one. But let's dig a little deeper. I almost said dig and dive at the same time, and that really wasn't working for me. Let's dive a little bit deeper into, you know, one area of things that you do, and tell me, you know, what makes you passionate about it and what it is that you love.
Sure. Boy, let's talk about people because it applies to both HeroPress and BigCommerce.
Great.
I have always thought of myself as a developer and a fair one. But early in my career, like when I worked at the radio stations, they were associated with a university and they let me teach. And I found tremendous joy in teaching those kids to code. Now, the university didn't have a programming degree or a CS program. This was an elective, and the students were all music majors and business majors and English majors, and they came into it very wary. They didn't know, this was weird geeky tech stuff. And I think I had two out of several hundred say, you know what, this is not for me. I do not want to do this. And I'll bet 5 or 10% of them gave up their degree program to go be web developers because this was amazing. Mm-hmm. And that was fantastic. It made me feel really, really good. Made me feel happy. There are people out there in the web development world right now who have their career because I pointed the way. I taught a class. It's not mm-hmm. a huge deal. They've learned a ton more since, but I was the one that said, "Hey, look over there. That's a cool thing." And, it's a cool thing to know that they're out there. And later on, when I worked with agencies and things like that, I always felt drawn to communication with the client mm-hmm. more than the code. The real joy in a program or in a project for me is talking to the client, deeply understanding the problem, and coming up with a solution that just makes them happy.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I could be done then. I'd rather be the project manager and say, okay, now that we've solved the problem, you guys go code it out. I'm going to go solve mm-hmm. another problem, you know? And so that people aspect has always really drawn me. And then, of course, HeroPress fits that so well. I can talk to people forever. And meeting new people is fun and exciting. And meeting people from all over the world is amazing. And finding mm-hmm. out about their cultures and their languages and how they relate to world history and all that stuff is just really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you asked me what I like about my jobs.
Just in general, but like, what are you passionate about? What do you enjoy doing? And yeah,
I'm passionate about people. I'm passionate about helping people find their best path.
Mm-hmm.
I like to connect people with other people, connect people to jobs, connect people with software, just nudge them in the right direction when they're making a decision or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That is my passion.
That's awesome. And I think of myself along those lines too, which is why I have a podcast about people and kind of helping people tell their WordPress stories and getting it out there, which is also really aligns well with HeroPress and how you connect with people. Can I impose on you to grab the new shiny thing behind you? So one of the things, I'm not sure that people who listen to the podcast know, they know I work with GiveWP. Look at that. I love it. It's a hero cape. It's a HeroPress superhero cape. So one of the other things I do is I work with Sentry Hosting, and I run their webinars. And you were our first webinar, and that was our thank you gift to you, which just arrived today, and I'm so excited to see it.
It's really well made. I'm very impressed. It's embroidered, not painted. It's really slick. I like it a lot.
And have you tried it on yet?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah, the colors match both inside and out. I wouldn't necessarily have thought of that, but it's really great.
That's awesome. Etsy's awesome. You can get so many wonderful, wonderful things. And, you know, when somebody runs a place like HeroPress, it's because they are the Bruce Wayne or the Clark Kent of the world too, right? So you are, or maybe you think of yourself as the Alfred. I don't know, but but you're part of the superhero universe yourself there, of course. And
I would go with Alfred.
Okay. Well, Alfred got a cape today, and Alfred deserves it.
Do you know Andrea Rennick?
I do.
She's a quilter. Several years ago, she made me a quilt this big that was HeroPress, and it had the HeroPress logo in it. And I have it over there in my closet right now.
That's awesome.
So now I have two HeroPress swag items.
So see, this is the thing. So if you do another WordCamp talk about HeroPress, you have to wear the cape.
I've heard that already today.
From your family, I'm guessing.
Yes.
That's awesome. So I'm assuming that it's your love of people that kind of drove you to have HeroPress and to build HeroPress in the first place.
Sort of. Yeah.
So tell that story.
It was not my idea. Yeah. So this is a good story. Years ago, I don't even remember what year it was, probably 2014,
mm-hmm.
a few days before Thanksgiving. I was working for XWP, WordPress VIP agency. building websites. And the owner, who was not really related with the company much anymore, he had turned it over to managers, Dave Rosen, he sent me an email and he said, you're not working for XWP anymore. I want you to do something special for WordPress.
Okay.
That was it. That you was were the thinking, email.
Okay.
Yep. Because I was getting up for work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I do now? So I emailed him back and I said, what is it that you want me to do? And he said, that's your journey to discover.
Wow. What a blank canvas, huh?
Yes. It was a blank canvas, which is both a blessing and a curse.
Absolutely.
Because I had to come up with a vision. I had to come up with a thing. And what he was looking for was a business of some kind. And I could come up with anything I wanted. He gave me until the end of February, I think. So he's going to pay my salary out of his pocket. I wasn't working for XWP anymore. Mm-hmm. He paid my salary out of his pocket. And he hired a web development firm in India and put them on retainer. Mm-hmm. And said, if you need to build anything, here you go. Mm-hmm. He hired an artist. He hired a writer. Mm-hmm. And said, here's your tools. Do your thing. And I struggled to come up with an idea. I worked and worked and worked. And I was talking with my contact at the web firm in India. His name was Jeet. Mm-hmm. And when we met, he was very formal, very, I don't know what you want to call it. He called me sir all the time. But we started talking more and more on Slack and got to be more and more friends. And one evening he kind of, I don't want to say broke down. He released some pent-up emotions. He was frustrated because his agency was actually a collection of freelancers who gotten together thinking that they would do better as a group than single. And it wasn't working. They weren't making the money that they were hoping for. And they were looking for contracts from the West. They lived in the city. They lived in Calcutta. So it wasn't like, it was city wages, and they needed to be making city wages. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, what do I do? How do I get better contracts as an Indian web development firm? And I had no idea. I said, I'm not a business guy. I'm not Indian. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. So I went to my friend Sam Seidler, and I said, do you have any ideas? Also not Indian. And he said, you know what? You should talk to the guys who just did WordCamp Mumbai, because they're businessmen. They're running successful businesses in India with WordPress. Mm-hmm. You should ask them. And so I said, great. And I found their contact names. And to this day, they are wonderful friends. And I said, I've got this guy who's got these questions. You have any answers? And he said, oh, sure. Absolutely. And right then I thought, I need to be connecting people who have answers. Peers. I need to be connecting peers. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the white savior from America telling this Indian guy how to run his business. Mm-hmm. He should be talking to other Indians who are familiar with the business of the area and the mm-hmm. cultures and things like that. And I thought, well, what if I, connected peers like that all over the world, Africans with Africans and South Americans with South Americans and Asians with Asians and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with the idea for something like TED with videos.
Okay.
So I was going to do two or three a year, travel to someplace with a film crew and sit down and make a high quality video. And, produce it, and it would be beautiful and amazing and inspiring. And Dave said, okay, let's give this a shot. Mm-hmm. So if this were to be successful, I would become the CEO. We didn't quite know how to make money yet. Because, I mean, where does the money come from in that?
Right.
So as a test, he said we need to do a Kickstarter. And so he's the one that owned it. HeroPress was a registered company in Australia. Yeah. He's Australian. So mm-hmm. HeroPress was a registered company. He owned the domain name. He paid thousands of dollars for the domain name. Mm-hmm. And so he made a lot of decisions, which is appropriate. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're going to ask for 60,000 Australian dollars, which is about 45,000 US. Okay. And if we get it, we go. And if we don't, that's it. We're done. We walk away. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to mention this. Part of the deal at the beginning was that if I accepted this adventure, there's no going back.
Okay.
If it fails, there's no job for me. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And so that was it was a scary thing. Not my wife's favorite thing at all.
I'm sure.
So we did it. And something I learned is when you do a Kickstarter, when you're ready to go and you press start, it doesn't start then. It goes to them for review. And 4 to 6 weeks later, tell you. So when I was ready to go, they said, oh, it's going to be 4 to 6 more weeks. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
I don't have 4 to 6 weeks.
Right.
No, we needed to get this done by the end of February. Well, as it turns out, Dave sent me to Pressnomics, and while I was there, it went live. And so I was surrounded by business people of WordPress, you know? Mm-hmm. So I started preaching, and right away, like that first day, we got almost $20,000.
Wow.
Yeah. But this is the big key. Mm-hmm. I learned later that Dave didn't actually need the money. What he was looking for was 60,000 $1 donations mm-hmm. from people from India and Africa and Asia. Votes of confidence. Mm-hmm. Saying, you know what, I don't have much to give, but that's so important that I'll give you a buck. Mm-hmm. And what we got was some fairly large donations from some fairly large organizations.
Okay.
So I think we got 2 for 5,000, 1 for 8,000. Yeah, that was it. We got mm-hmm. 3 large donations. Mm. And it was amazing. It was breathtaking. I'm like, woo, we're winning. And I went home from Pressnomics and nothing happened. We started getting the smaller donations from people mm-hmm. and we got maybe 100 for $10 or $15.
Okay.
And so, you know, we were looking for 60,000 and we ended up with 30, 35, something like that. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was the end of HeroPress. It died right there. And I started getting emails from people saying, you can't let this die. We need this. I was like, well, where were you when the Kickstarter was running? And at this point, I was unemployed. It's not like mm-hmm. I had money to do this.
Right.
I was looking for a job. I didn't have time to do this. So I got thinking, you know, what are my options here? I didn't want to let it die. It was part of my heart by that time. I didn't want to let it die. And I thought, well, what if it were text instead of videos? Mm-hmm. What would that mean? Well, the turnaround time would be really short. How long did it take you to write your essay?
A couple hours at the most.
Couple hours. It wasn't 6 months of video processing.
No.
It's way easier to read on a cell phone on 3G on an island off Indonesia, which mm-hmm. is where my friend Zikri reads it. Mm-hmm. He lives in Indonesia, and he spent some time in Bali. Mm-hmm. And he would read it on his phone in 3G. And text is way easier to read than 4K video, you know?
Right, yeah, for sure.
Cheaper to make. I mean, I didn't pay you anything to make yours. Nobody's ever been paid to make their video or to make their essay.
Right.
So it's faster. It's cheaper. It's doable. I could, if we did one a week, I could just turn them around relatively easily. Mm-hmm. So I went to the guy who was going to be first, Andrei Savchenko, Rarst. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, what do you think of doing it in text? And he said, sure, I'll have it to you this weekend. And so I pulled it together, and on a Wednesday, I pushed it up, and traffic went bananas.
That's awesome.
Thousands and thousands of page views on that first day.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly still to this day, my most popular day, single day. I thought, wow, this is great. I got to get another one. So I frantically went looking for somebody else, and I got another one, and that one turned out well. And I thought, oh no, I got to get another one. And it took me like 2 months to realize I should be thinking ahead. I should have like five lined up. And
sometimes we learn as we go.
Yes, I very much learned as I went. And that's it. That's how it went. From then on, it was just every Wednesday I started posting. And for a very long time, it was very important to me to get one out every single week on Wednesday at 8 a.m. Because I was shooting for the SEO. Google likes consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And where was I? It was WordCamp US in Nashville.
Okay.
I was talking to Morten Rand Hendrickson.
Mm-hmm.
And several times in the history of HeroPress, I have gotten kind of down about how little traffic it gets. There have been times when I've gotten six or seven hits, page views, in a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Usually on Sunday, because nobody reads on Sunday. And I've thought, you know, why am I doing this? Nobody's reading this. But then, you know, I get 200 page views on a Wednesday, and I'm like, yeah, we'll keep doing it. And Morten said to me one time, I may have asked him, I said, do you read HeroPress? He said, you know what? I don't read it every week. Sometimes I'll go 2 or 3 months without reading anything at all. And then something on Twitter will get me really depressed about WordPress and how the community is horrible and sucks and people are horrible and mean. And I'll go read 10 essays and everything's all better again.
Mm-hmm.
And that really resonated with me. And it made me realize that by that point, there were several hundred essays out. By that point, it didn't matter so much that it happened every single Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't read every single Wednesday.
Right.
I had another WordCamp in Ann Arbor. I was talking with Josepha.
Mm-hmm.
And she said part of her job is to be a compassionate listening ear to people who are suffering on the front lines of support at WordPress.
Sure.
And people will come to her and say, you know what? I've just, for days and weeks now, been dealing with cranky people who hate WordPress, and they hate me, and they hate us, and they hate everything, and the world is awful. And she doesn't really do much with this. She's just listening. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, almost always at the end, they say, thanks for listening. I'm just going to go read a bunch of HeroPress essays now, and that'll be fine.
That's awesome.
And that just, I mean, that was amazing to me. Mm-hmm. It just lit my heart right up. Yeah. And again, those people are not reading every week. You know, they find it when they need it.
Yeah.
And so I haven't done every Wednesday for the last while. Every other Wednesday. It's more about when the authors are ready. I used to say, you know, I need it by Saturday so that I can get it posted by Wednesday. And nowadays, more often than not, I'm saying, you just get it done when you're ready, you know, make it something you're happy with, something you're proud of, and we'll publish it when it's done, and it'll be fine. It'll add to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we got here.
How many essays are there now, ballpark, if you don't know specific?
I'm not sure. I can look really quick. Let me look it up.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Because I know you've been around for a while, and I know mine was almost, a year and a half ago when I publish my essay, and it was quite the honor to be included in it, and you know, for to be asked to share my story and that kind of thing. So
yeah, you know, I've always thought the honor is mine, that people would trust me with their stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember at a Pressnomics, I was talking with a woman at the after party, mm-hmm. and I mentioned that I did HearPress, and she started to sob.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, what? She's like, oh, you don't know what that means to me, that site. And of course, now she's done a story. Yeah. How could I not?
Right.
But to be able to provide that to people is just amazing. Mm-hmm. So my custom post type for essays says I have 194.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Coming that's up a lot on of stories.
200.
Yeah. That's a lot of stories for sure. You got some in the pipeline right now?
I do. Awesome. Yeah, you know, the other funny thing is I tend to forget that they're in the pipeline, because it used to be that people would just take a week or two after I asked. Mm-hmm. And now sometimes it's months. Mm. And somebody will just come up and say, hey, remember that essay you asked me to write? Here it is.
Nice.
And yeah, it's a fun surprise. That. It's very exciting, actually.
That's fantastic. I love it. Yeah. Fantastic. I love it. I love everything you do with HearPress. And I know that you guys are making some tweaks and have some new designs and things coming up or whatever. I mean, yeah. I get the newsletter. So, you know, I saw that. So I'm anxious to see how the direction you're taking it this year. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. I'm really excited about, we're going to do some new stuff. My wife is taking a lot more, I don't know the word. She's stepping in a lot more and doing a lot more stuff. Yeah, and awesome. We have some really great ideas.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's very good stuff. Cool.
Well, I said to Kate, and I'll say to you, if I can ever be of service, please just call on me. I'd be happy to help.
All right.
Let me pivot to my rapid fire questions. I'll ask them rapidly.
Go for it.
You take as much time as you need to answer them. Mm-hmm. Number one, what are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody building their own website?
Oh boy, I love WP Rocket. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I do like Monster Insights. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. And boy, let me see. There are a whole bunch that I love that are actually smaller. Mm-hmm. There's one called Post Type Archive Descriptions. Hmm. And so WordPress has a descriptions field for custom post types and regular post mm-hmm. types. Then it goes on the archive page, but there is no user interface for it. Hmm. And so if you just go to a regular archive page, it says at the top, category, whatever, and lists mm-hmm. a bunch of posts.
Right.
Well, this plugin puts a field, a sort of a settings page mm-hmm. under posts or pages or essays for me, and it just makes a text field, and you can type in anything you want. So at the top of your category page for your trip to Hawaii, you can write a big old paragraph about your trip to Hawaii.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it.
That's very cool. Have you had a mentor at all during your WordPress journey? And if so, who was it?
I've had a whole bunch. And it's never been official. I've never said, will you be my mentor? Mm-hmm. Or anything like that. But there have been some very influential people. When I first got started, I was perfectly accomplished with PHP and MySQL, but I didn't know the ins and outs of WordPress. I didn't know that template tags are actually just functions.
Okay.
I didn't know that short codes were just a fancy name for functions and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. Brian Richards mm-hmm. actually lives near me, and he had a theme framework at the time that I bought, and he helped me a lot in the early days. But who are other people that have really helped me? It hasn't always been about teaching me code, but teaching me how to find stuff, or giving me doors. Do you know Siobhan McEwen?
I don't.
That's too bad. You should.
Maybe I'll get to know her.
Yes. She works for Human Made now, but when I met her, she was working for Audrey, directly for Matt Mullenweg. And she was writing the WordPress book, the book about here about WordPress. But she also worked a lot with documentation. And I met her at WordCamp Austin. And I knew who she was. She had no idea who I was. And she was just sitting quietly at a table. And I very nervously walked up and said, "Hi, my name's Topher." And I said, "You know, I'm interested in getting involved on the docs project." And she said, "Oh, well, what's your WordPress.org username? Hang on." Clickety, clickety, click. And poof, I had full admin rights to WordPress.org docs. Yep. And I'm like, wow.
Holy cow.
This should not be. People like me should not be given access that easily. But she helped me figure out how to get around in the docs area and how to, how to write good docs there. And then that was the year of the very last WordCamp San Francisco, which was sort of the WordCamp US before they made it US.
Right.
It was the big one. And she made it possible for everybody who worked on the docs team to have a scholarship to get to go.
Nice.
And in the end, I did not need it. My work sent me. But it was very special to me that she was going to make that possible. That that was one of those moments. That was a WordCamp where I walked away and I said, "This changes everything." Well, Austin, when she made me an editor, I said, "This changes everything." San Francisco, I said, "This changes everything." Yeah, so I'm going to say Siobhan's a big one.
That's awesome.
And Brian Richards. And there, you know, there's a million more, but.
Okay, well, that kind of leads me to the next question. So other than Siobhan and Brian, who's somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
I admire Tom McFarlane a lot. And part of it is that he is a software engineer. I am not. I'm a WordPress developer. I'm a website developer. I'm a coder. I'm a hacker. But software engineers are another thing altogether. There are rules. It's like knowing how to wire your house, but not actually be an electrician. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when he builds things for WordPress, he does it the right way. He does it the way it should be, as opposed to the way that everybody's doing it because we always have.
Right.
PHP was a giant hack. It is a giant hack. And is only now starting to learn to be a real programming language. But people like Tom have been trying to figure out how to do the right thing like object-oriented programming ever since PHP 4 when it was horrible, but they still did it anyway because it's the right thing to do.
Gotcha.
So I admire Tom for his dedication to coding the right way.
Nice. That's awesome. What's something you'd like to learn in WordPress but you haven't tackled yet?
JavaScript.
Deeply.
Deeply, yeah. So this actually speaks to something that really concerns me. One of the things I loved about WordPress is how easy it was to get into. PHP is not complicated. People can learn it easily. And even if you don't know it, WordPress was HTML and CSS. You know, it was very right for the implementer. Somebody who just picked it up on a weekend and 6 months later they quit their job and made a living at it. Well, these days, so much of WordPress is React, which is not easy to just walk into.
Right.
You really should learn JavaScript first, which again is not necessarily easy to just walk into. And so the days of being able to become a WordPress developer in 3 weeks and actually make a living at it are gone. And, you know, some people who are software engineers will say, "Great." People should learn more before they start doing that. The whole JavaScript React world is something that if I added that into my tool bag, would dramatically make me a better developer.
Nice. Understandable. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made in WordPress, and what did you learn from it?
Oh, boy. Depends on how you define a big mistake.
You define it.
The first plugin I ever wrote was for a client, and I would call it monolithic.
Okay.
Hundreds and hundreds of PHP files, not well organized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to say it was a mistake because it was my first try.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. It functioned. And they're still using that code 11 years later.
Right.
But it taught me a lot about what not to do.
Gotcha.
About how to organize files, how to call files properly, how to do stuff. Yeah.
What's your proudest WordPress moment?
I have a favorite.
Yes.
So years ago I was working for XWP and I finished a project. We were working on the Grammys.
Oh, cool.
For Canada. Mm-hmm. So it's Grammys.ca.
Okay, now a little less cool, but yeah.
Yeah. Now it was our Grammys. It was like the real Grammys, but it was Canada's website.
That's
and
cool, though,
I was pretty new, and you know, I was the junior developer on the team. But when we finished it, they said, okay, now it's time to start a new one. You're going to be working on this project for the Ottawa Citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawa is the capital of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And the company that owned the newspaper owned the newspapers in just about every other city in Canada. And they were going to make a WordPress multi-site network. So each city got a node on the network that was their own newspaper. Mm-hmm. And they were paying us to build the first node, which was just Ottawa.
Okay.
They were very accomplished. They were very capable. They could have done this. They hired us because they didn't have the bandwidth. And so we formed our team. There was a project manager in Toronto, my front-end developer in Poland,
mm-hmm.
a back-end developer in Indonesia,
mm-hmm.
and then me as another back-end developer. So there are actually two back-end developers. And, of course, the people who spoke English the least were the Polish guy and the Indonesian guy. And they were fine at it. But if we were going into a business meeting, I was probably going to be the front man.
Okay.
And so I went to the meetings with the project manager and the client. And I was the one that spoke to how things were going and technical challenges that were coming up. I was basically a technical project manager, which mm-hmm. now is a thing. That's a position you can get hired for. At the time, mm-hmm. it wasn't really.
Okay.
And so I became less of the main coder and more of the technical project manager. And Zikri in Indonesia became more of the main back-end developer. And we crushed that project.
Nice.
They threw weird things at us. They pivoted on design in the middle. They came up with the most convoluted, horrible navigation system we've ever seen. And we did it.
Nice.
And we came in early and under budget.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. And as a joke, I said, so I need to go to Toronto to be there for the presentation, right? And they're like, yeah, the client asked for you.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I got to go to Toronto and go to this skyscraper. Toronto's a big city.
Yeah, it is.
Go in a big skyscraper, make a fancy presentation about this project, and they thought it was awesome, and I was floating on top of the world.
Nice.
Probably my fondest memory of my career, of the work part of my career.
That's awesome. If you weren't working in web technologies or technology, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
Yes. I've always been fascinated with cabinetry,
okay.
making fine woodworking, mm-hmm. and also blacksmithing.
Cool.
And my dad did both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And he has passed now, but all of the equipment is sitting at my sister's house waiting for me to just throw my keyboard down in disgust. And and go be a blacksmith.
That's pretty cool.
The pay is not nearly as good for people who are just starting out at blacksmithing. So it's unlikely to happen as a career, but maybe when I retire, we'll see.
Retirement hobby. There you go.
Yeah.
I think you could be a cooper because people who make barrels work with both wood and iron. So
yes.
Yep. There you go. You could employ both of those skills. That'd be kind of fun.
Here in Michigan, we have an island in Lake Huron called Mackinac Island. Mm-hmm. And there are no cars on the island. So there are lots of horses. It's the world's only 24/7, 365 horse-driven taxi cab company.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so they have a lot of need of farriers.
Yeah, for sure.
And there are a number of people who go work on the island for the summer. They take most of the horses off in the winter, but there are some that stay. I mean, it's 24/7, 365.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And yeah, it'd be fun to go do that.
That would be for sure. What's something on your bucket list?
In the last several years, I have fallen in love with travel, specifically international travel. Mm-hmm. And it isn't just one place. There's a number of places. I didn't mention this, but in the second year of HeroPress, the organizers of WordCamp Pune in India asked me to come speak.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I said, you know, that's a great idea, but I don't have the money to go to India.
Right.
And I have a job and stuff like that. And so I actually did a GoFundMe. And in 36 hours, I got enough money to go to speak in India.
Amazing.
And that was probably the thing that sparked it, really.
Yeah.
Because then I wanted to go to WordCamp Nepal, which is now gone. Now it's Kathmandu, and there are several others in Nepal. Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, Dave Rosen, who started HeroPress, I hadn't talked to him in years, out of the blue said, hey, I think HeroPress should go to WordCamp Europe. I said, okay. He said, would $5,000 cover it? I said, yes, sir, it would. Thank you very much. And in the end, we actually, we paid a little out of pocket, and my wife got to go with me. And we went to WordCamp Europe in Vienna.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Vienna was amazing. Amazing. Mm. Just so beautiful. And so now I want to go. I've been to WordCamp Europe in Berlin. Mm-hmm. I've been to WordCamp London. I loved London. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And so my bucket list really is to go as many places as I can.
Awesome.
I spent 12 hours in Ireland on a layover on the way back from Berlin. But it was all in the airport. It was horrible. It was the middle of the night. I'd love to get to Nepal. I'd love to get to Sri Lanka. A whole bunch of places in Africa. I have a ton of friends in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Very robust WordPress community in Nigeria. I'd love to get there. Friends in Croatia. Rarst is in Ukraine. I mean, if you go to HeroPress.com and you go to the little maps page, there's 194 pins on that thing.
Yeah.
And I need to go to all those places. Yeah, I need to go to all those places. Yeah, so that's my bucket list.
Very
and it's
nice.
Probably not even physically possible now. By the time I actually could get to the point in my life where I had enough money to do that, there would be hundreds and hundreds of pins.
Yeah.
Only so much time in life.
Well, you can centralize them, maybe.
Yeah. Start having HeroPress meetups.
Oh, there you go. That could be fun. HeroPress the tour.
The tour. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Show us or tell us about something that is I'm going to mess up my own questions now. Show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents that you have that the WordPress community might not be aware of.
Oh, boy. I have my pilot's license.
You do? That's pretty cool.
I do. Yep. I haven't flown in 30 years. But spooky thing about pilot's licenses, they never expire.
That is kind of spooky.
So you can go 50 or 60 years without flying and do 3 takeoff and landings with an instructor and be certified, and away you go.
I'm going to stick with commercial airlines. Thank you very much.
Very wise. Very wise.
That's awesome. Tell us how we find you online and social media, your website, all that good stuff.
My online handle is Topher1Kenobi, and there's a one in the middle, and it ends with an E, not an I. Obi-Wan ends with an I. So I have Topher1Kenobi.com, and on there, you can find the poster, the movie poster for Topher1Kenobi, from where I got that name. Okay. Yeah, so I have Topher1Kenobi on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and Slack and on Flickr and some music service that I can't remember the name of. Last.fm. Topher1Kenobi everywhere. So, very
good. And also here at Hero Press, of course.
And on Hero Press, yes.
Yeah. And BigCommerce is also just BigCommerce.com?
Yes, BigCommerce is at BigCommerce.com. We have a WordPress plugin, and that's what led me to BigCommerce. Mm-hmm. And it's BigCommerce for WordPress, and so we shorten it to BC for WP. So there's a hashtag for that on Twitter. You can search for hashtag BC for WP and see all my tweets about BigCommerce for WordPress.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. Well, if anybody listening, we'll have all of those links in the show notes. So just go to wpcoffeetalk.com, search for Topher's episode, and you'll be able to find all those different links that we just shared, social and otherwise. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before I let you go this evening?
Boy. I have two more weird facts.
Okay. I'm dying to hear them.
I have met the guy who wrote the Oscar Mayer Weenie song.
Hmm.
And this is the other fact. Same guy. He also invented individually sliced cheese for Kraft.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah. So that's the same guy invented both. And one of the CEO of a company I worked for was friends with him. Brought him in for an inspirational talk one day.
Very cool. Well, you brought up the Oscars. So I'll tell you a little known fact about me is that I have family members who have won Oscars. So
ooh.
I do. My uncle David Campbell is an orchestrator and conductor, okay. And he has many Oscars. He's worked out with just so many people you've heard of. He won, and I think one of his Grammys is for Tapestry by Carole King, and just a lot of things since then. And his son, my cousin, is Beck, the singer Beck, and he's also won some Grammys. So there's music in my family. Cool. So there you go. Yeah. So
isn't it interesting knowing famous people?
It kind of is. Yeah.
There's a guy who played for the Yankees named Bobby Richardson, and he was known as the littlest Yankee. And he played back in the '60s with Joe DiMaggio and all that. And he holds the world's record for the most consecutive home runs in World Series.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So his son was my boss at a job.
Oh, cool.
And he had stories. One day, my boss was in high school. They were sitting around Sunday afternoon watching TV, and the doorbell rang. And he went and answered it, and there was Colonel Sanders.
Wow.
He said, "Hi, can I meet Bobby Richardson?"
That's hysterical. I love it.
Yeah. And Bobby was the president's religious advisor for Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to the White House, and he took his son, who was my boss. And you know the famous picture of JFK's kid sticking, poking his head out from under the, So there's a picture of my boss doing that when he was a little boy.
Oh, how
same
fun.
Table in the thing. And so,
that's cool.
The stories they tell is fun. It's fascinating.
For sure.
I know I've made your show go long.
That's all right. People will listen or they won't. I enjoyed it. That's the most important part is that you and I both had fun talking tonight, and hopefully other people will learn a little bit something about you, Hero Press, and the WordPress community, just because we get to share things on WP Coffee Talk, which is my my passion and my pride and joy. So,
you do a great job, and it's really fun.
Thank you. Well, when you said that, it's an honor that people trust you with their stories on Hero Press, I feel the same way about the people that I talk to on WP Coffee Talk. So, So thanks for all you do for the WordPress community. Thank you so much for being here today and talking to me. And, we'll see everybody on the next episode of WP Coffee Talk.
All right. I'll see you.
Thanks.